Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The readings are from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, Psalm 125, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. Today's message is titled, Finding the True Treasure. Hear the word of God from Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. For you are a holy people, holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possessions. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Here ends our first lesson, Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to the crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, beginning at the 44th verse. Another parable, a set of parables from Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Here ends the gospel of the Lord. The sermon is titled, Finding the True Treasure. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, this next prayer I'm praying before this sermon is from the Liturgy of St. Chrysostom, and it's from about the 4th century. Let us pray. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. One of my all-time favorite movies begins with a blank screen. And in that blank screen showing sound, of revving engines begins. Revving race car engines. And then transitions and added to that sound is the sound of crowds clapping. And then soon the scene comes onto the screen, and it's car number 3 rounding the corner and racing towards the finish line. Car number 3 wins the British Grand Prix of 1907. Those first Grand Prix racing cars, you know, those car races from the early days with their really long hoods and those tall, skinny tires. And then the drivers with their little goggles sitting behind the teeny tiny windscreens, and they're dressed in those trench coats and those hats they wore. And so you see all this, the Grand Prix racing cars. Next, you're at the Grand Prix of De France, 1908. Various cars crash. Car number 3 moves to the front. Car number 3 wins. Then at the Grand Prix of Deutschland, 1908, the start-finish line is being painted as the race is about to begin. More racing action, and car number 3 makes its way towards the front. It wins the race. Next is the British Grand Prix of 1909. Racing action on narrow roads through the countryside as car number 3 makes its way up to the front. Then coming around that last corner, a dog runs onto the racetrack, followed closely behind by a little girl chasing her dog. She catches her dog in the middle of the racetrack, and car number 3 is bearing down upon her. Quick reflexes of the talented driver sends that car number 3 careening, missing the girl but breaking through a fence and rolling down an embankment, bursting into fire. Car number 3 comes to its end of its glorious winning races. That fantastic car ends up in Mr. Coggins' junkyard. There we find Jemima and Jeremy racing for the win. A junk dealer comes and offers to buy the car for scrap metal. Mr. Coggins makes a deal with Jemima and Jeremy. If they can come up with 30 bob, the car is theirs. 30 bob, 30 shillings. That's a lot of money. They tell their father, and I love this name, Caraticus. Caraticus Potts. They tell the deal they made with Mr. Coggins for their special car. Father asks them how much, and Jeremy and Jemima answer, 30 shillings. It's a lot of money. Later that night, as Dad tucks in the children for bed, Jemima and Jeremy, they pull out all their treasures from their treasure chest to give the items to their father to sell. Their precious treasures to sell. They wanted their car, and they're willing to sell their most precious treasures to get the car. But more important was their relationship with their father. He could sell their treasures and spend it on all his inventions. Deeply moved, their father says, "Thank you, children. Thank you. All these wonderful things, they're very precious." It's a very moving scene with the children willing to part with what's most precious for something more important, much, much more important. That is what's happening in two of the three parables Jesus tells in this portion of Matthew chapter 13. And it's a question for you to wrestle with, is would you part with your most precious possessions like Jemima and Jeremy for something of much, much more worth, the kingdom of heaven? Gospel of Matthew uses this phrase often, kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke in their Gospels use the extensive use of the phrase kingdom of God. John uses kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven is found exclusively in Matthew's Gospel. 32 times Matthew uses kingdom of heaven. 4 times Matthew uses kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 19, in answering the rich young man wanting to know what he must do for eternal life, Jesus says, this is Matthew 19, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Notice the interchangeable use that has happened here. Oftentimes, when Matthew uses kingdom of heaven, Mark and Luke in their gospel use kingdom of God in the parallel accounts of the same parable. What we learn is there's no distinction to be made between kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. The two phrases point to the same thing, being under the sovereign rule of God. For better understanding, consider phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like being under the sovereign rule of God. Or instead, the kingdom of God is like being with Jesus as Lord of your life. Remember earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, written in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching, do not worry. Do you remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That word seek, here it means to investigate, to get to the bottom of the matter, to bring about a resolution. What this means is that Jesus early on has already said to eagerly desire the kingdom of heaven. Want that kingdom of heaven for yourself, to be in your life, for it is good. Yes, it is good for you. It's an expression of how much God, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves you. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. The stories of treasure hunters, they fill many annals. The rumors of treasure have driven people to go and search and seek and search. Cortez hunting for Montezuma's treasure. Or through the years, how many people have been hunting for Blackbeard's treasure? Those are just two examples of treasure people are hunting for. Who wouldn't want to find a real treasure in real life? Storage centers who offer auctions of abandoned storage units. There's reality shows, I think it's called Storage Wars or something, and they have bidding on these abandoned storage units. And then they go digging through the stuff left in the storage units, hoping to find something super spectacular, really, really worth it all. The possibility of finding great value drives the bidding prices. Even with uncertainty, if the storage unit is just junk, full of goods that are really just garbage, or is there a hidden gem of great value buried there? In this parable, there is no uncertainty. It's a sure thing. That field has a treasure in it. No mistake, the field is a find to be purchased. Just like all the listeners as Jesus teaches the parables, they want the field to be their own. They're drawn in as you and I are drawn in. We want that field because we know there's a treasure there. And finding that treasure fills your heart with joy. I'm pretty sure your heart would be filled with joy if you found a treasure, wouldn't it? You find joy of finding a treasure. This parable really does explain the human heart. What will you do now? You found a treasure. You have a field that the treasure's hidden in. Will you buy the field or will you just ignore it? Walk away and forget about it? No, that wouldn't happen. Forget about finding a treasure that could be your own? No way. Instead, as the parable says, the man goes and sold all he had and bought the field. The treasure was worth selling all to have. The kingdom of heaven is worth selling all to have in your life. We're selling all to have. No, that's not buying salvation. We can't buy salvation. But having the kingdom of heaven is worth it all. The next parable of the kingdom of heaven is a merchant who finds a pearl of great price. If you find that special, unique pearl, a pearl so wondrous and beautiful, what would you do? That pearl is a once-in-a-lifetime find. Would you walk away and forget about it? No way. All of us would do the exact same thing. It's a once-in-a-lifetime find. And those people listening to the parable of the merchant finding the pearl, listening to Jesus teaching this parable, of course, that pearl must be purchased to have as one owns. What would it take? It takes all. The merchant sold everything. Again, with this parable, we find the willingness to sell everything. The Greek word translated as bought in the two parables there, it means in the context of salvation, it's not focusing on the redeeming price as in buying back. That's what redeeming price means. Rather, the focus is on the believer now becomes the Lord's, belongs to the Lord, the Lord's sole possession. You have become the Lord's. So you're bought by the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You are the Lord's possession. And then we have this third parable of a net catching all kinds of fish. The people listening to Jesus speak of dragging a net in the water and catching all kinds of fish. They would be, it's a well-known image for them. It's easily etched in their minds. They've grown up seeing that very action. Remember, Matthew chapter 13 begins with this information. Jesus goes out and sat by the lake. The crowd became so large, Jesus stepped into a boat and cast off from the shore. In that boat, more than likely, would be the kinds of nets that Jesus is describing. For catching and sorting of fish would be a daily event in the lives of a large number of these people. Most of them were fishermen who lived by the lake. Very familiar to them. The good fish, the ones that looked great on the outside, showing that the inside would be good too, those are kept. The bad ones, meaning the rotten, putrid, unfit for use, they were thrown away. It's an action of judgment taking place here. This is a good fish. It's placed in the basket. This is a good fish. Placed in the basket. This is a bad fish. And it's just thrown and tossed aside. Bad fish. Thrown and tossed aside. Good fish. Judgment. It's an action of judgment. This action of judging fish illustrates the action that will come at the end of the age. There will be judgment. And the bad fish, meaning the rotten, putrid, unfit for use, the unredeemed, will be thrown into a place of unrelenting torment of weeping and gnashing of teeth. All of these images from the parables coming to us one after another here in Matthew chapter 13, image after image, adding another layer of nuance. The kingdom of heaven is like. Are you a good fish? Are you a bad fish? How to be a good fish? Are you willing to sell all to purchase the field that has the treasure? Will you give your all to have the kingdom of heaven in your life? Will you give your all to be counted in the kingdom of heaven? Again, this is not buying your way into heaven with good works. Not at all. Rather, this is closer to that rich man that I spoke about earlier in Matthew chapter 19. To that young rich man, Jesus said, go, sell all, and come follow me. The rich man, this rich young man, could not let go of his stuff, even with this invitation from Jesus to become a disciple of Jesus. Come, follow me. The exact same invitation given to James, given to John, given the invitation given to Andrew. The same invitation given to Simon Peter, and the same invitation given to Matthew, the writer of this gospel, who was a tax collector. The rich young man could not let go to be able to follow. James, John, Andrew, Simon Peter, Matthew too, they left all to follow Jesus. What about you? Are you able to leave all to come to Jesus? Remember in the parable of finding that treasure in the field, the joy of the man finding the treasure in the field. Do you know that joy of Jesus in your life? This is the truth. Living a holy life is filled with much more joy than living a life of the ways of this world. The things that this world says bring joy, such as possessions, fame, wealth, partying, promiscuity, in the end, they don't lead to joy. They bring pain. The pain, the sorrow, the suffering that comes from illicit behavior. Secrets that must be kept that just eat away at the heart from shame and silence in so many souls. Would you not rather have joy instead of secrets and shame? Selling all to have the kingdom of heaven means to surrender all, means to repent and call on Jesus as Savior. It is seeing the treasure in Jesus as Lord, Redeemer, and King. The way to find the true treasure is in repentance and surrender. Finding the true treasure is finding the grace of God that is freely offered. That redeeming grace, that freeing grace, that grace that gives new life in your heart and in your soul, that grace that washes away all your sin and brings new life, that new birth of that new life in Christ. The true treasure is found in the finished work of Christ on the cross. The finished work of Christ that opened the kingdom of heaven to us. Jesus gave his all on that cross. He went to the cross in humble obedience to the Father's will. In the garden, Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Though the price to come was cruel suffering and death on the cross, Jesus willingly paid that price. Jesus did so with joy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The gospel message is all about the finished work of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our and Father. That's the gospel Paul preached, proclaiming salvation by grace alone, received through faith alone, in Christ alone. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is a great movie. I just love it. A motor car that was winning race after race, gaining fame, gaining fortune, gaining what the world praises, what the world treasures. Then in a moment, in just one little moment, all that was lost. That treasured and famous winning motor car was quickly forgotten and left as a pile of junk in the corner of the middle of nowhere. After Jemima and Jeremy's expression of self-giving love, their father, Caractacus Potts, the inventor, found a way to pay the redeeming price for his children's precious car. That cracked up, old, broken down, rusty pile of junk bore no resemblance to the famous number 3 Grand Prix winner of years past. Through the loving work of a father, soon emerged a fantastic motor car, gleaming and beautiful and simply amazing. What many saw as a hunk of junk was born again through the work of loving grace. That was a movie. What about real life? Can the loving grace of a father that took a rusty, broken down, good-for-nothing pile of junk, bringing forth a beautiful motor car that filled them with joy, can the real Father in heaven do the same thing for a broken down old soul? Broken down young soul? A broken down soul? Can the loving grace of a father do the same for you? Yes. Yes, the loving Father will do the same for you with his grace. You can be born again through the loving work of the grace of the Father. You will have to give up the false treasures of this world to find the true treasure of Christ and the kingdom of heaven. Repent and believe Jesus is the Christ, and the grace of God will work its wonders in you. Being found in the kingdom of heaven and set apart, as Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, set apart as a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Then you will know, as it's written also in Deuteronomy chapter 7, know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Just as Chitty was a chosen and treasured possession, You, my friend, are chosen to be a treasured possession. Be filled with the joy, for you are finding, yes, be filled with the joy, for you are finding the true treasure. The true treasure is the finished work of Christ that brings grace, that opens the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And amen. Please join in singing, Joyful.